All right, friends, if you want to follow along, we're going to continue in the Gospel of Luke. We are going to read another one of the things that the angels say during Christmas. This will be our fourth week doing this. We've worked our way around the Advent wreath. We've talked about hope. We've talked about peace. We've talked about joy. And this morning, we're going to talk about love. In the last 3 weeks, I've shared with you that what the angels are saying is God is giving us Christmas presents, gifts that he gives to people, like hope, peace, and today, love. And so this is going to be from the first chapter, what the angel says to Mary. Chapter 1, verse 29 through 38. Mary was greatly troubled at all these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. As we've shared together in this Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke this season, I've shared with you about these gifts that God gives to believers, special gifts that are reserved for believers. And so we shared the overarching verse, which is, you remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength. And last week I broke out my choo-choo train to help you to understand we're on a journey. We're headed somewhere. And in that, I shared with you something. I'm going to do it a little different this time. I want the illustration to kind of move a little forward with us. And so we shared that we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our will, with all of our intellect. And then there's this one other container. Notice the cups are upside down. And the reason the cups are upside down is until this cup gets turned over, these are limited. You only have what you're created with. You only have just so much intelligence, and it is contained in your life. You only have just so much willpower, and it is contained in your life. You only have just so much passion and heart, and it is contained in your life. You are limited in your life to what you are created with. Sometimes people want their "I feel like it" to be ahead of their minds. Sometimes people want their "I will do it" to be ahead of their hearts. They get to choose how this gets organized. God has set forth an ordained order of things. And this morning I want to talk with you about a single word. And it jumped out at me a long time ago. It's such a strange word. The angel says to Mary, "You will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit." And so I spent some time looking at this word. And there are other words that Luke could have chosen to put in there. For example, he could have chosen a Greek word that meant "you will be impregnated." That's not what he picked. He picked a very special word, and it only appears three times in the Bible. Here, Jesus uses it once. And Paul uses it once. And they all use it the same way. And so I wanted to talk with you about what this really sort of means. But to do this, I want to help you with an illustration. We talked about loving the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that in order for us to get where God intends us to go, we have to humble ourselves to the Spirit of God. That's this fourth cup. Something happens when we do that, that changes everything. And so the word love is not anything like what you and I have been taught it is. You know, we watch Hallmark Christmas movies. I know. Do you watch Hallmark Christmas movies? Right? I watch Hallmark Christmas movies. I do. And for me, love, as it's promoted to me, is primarily a feeling. It's something that I feel. Where would you put love? Would it be a feeling? Would it be an act of the will? Would it be an act of the mind? Would it be maybe all three? Maybe you get to mix them up a little bit. And in our society, we have been trained to think that love is an emotion. But there are four words for love that Jesus uses and that Paul uses. And I want to share with you what this one word is. Their first word, somebody took my, you did it. You took my fudge.
You love us more than your fudge.
No. For 45 years now, where is it? Hide and seek. Hi, there it is. For 45 years now, my mommy has sent me a Christmas package ever since I went away to college. And so the first word in the New Testament for love is the word storge. And I want to tell you, I storge my mom's Christmas fudge. I love it. I storge it right here. Okay, this is where I keep it. I love my mom's Christmas fudge. That's the first form of love. The second is the word eros, and it means fleshly intimacy, erotica. And that is in the New Testament. The third word, and you know this, the Eagles are playing the Cowboys today, right? And they're playing where? In the city of brotherly love. And so the word is philos. I love you as a brother. And those are the forms of love that people without Christ, they're limited to that. That they can experience the fullness of all of that. But when Jesus tells us that we're to love, he uses a fourth word that is reserved for believers. And it is only unto believers that this love is possible. And the word is agape. You are to agape God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You are to love God, agape, agape God. In the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, after the crucifixion, after Peter has seen the resurrected Christ, he's still frustrated with this world. His life didn't turn out the way that he thought it should. And so Jesus visits him, as he often does with people who are frustrated with this life. And he says to Peter, "What are you doing here?" Peter's fishing along the shores of the sea. And so Jesus asked Peter, "What are you doing here? Do you love me?" And Jesus says, agape. Peter, do you love me? What he's really asking is, will you give your life away for me? That's what he's really asking him. And Peter responds, "Oh, yes, Lord, you know that I philos you." That's literally what he does. We're good friends. But I'm not sure about this whole giving my life away thing. So Jesus asks him a second time, "Peter, do you agape me?" And Peter says a second time, "Yes, Lord, you know that I philos you." And Jesus says to him, "Well, then what are you doing here? You should be feeding my sheep." And Jesus asks him a third time, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, it says he was struck to the heart. Yes, Lord, you know that I agape you. And so Peter begins the process of allowing his life to be overshadowed. And he stops fishing, and he realizes that he was created for more. You see, we sometimes, when we're frustrated with the circumstances of our day, we resort to things that make us comfortable or perhaps make us feel good. You see, Peter knew that if he went fishing, he could support his family, he could get up in the morning and work hard, he could feel good about the things that he was doing during the day. He had a job, he had a family, and he could support them. And he knew that in the end, at his funeral, his children would say he was a decent man. He was a good man. But what happens when you begin to be overshadowed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are no longer satisfied with being a decent man. You know that you are here to change lives. And that's what starts happening to Peter. He begins to agape Jesus, and it changes his life. You see, these words, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your cardia. Love the Lord your God with all of your will, all of your mind, your dudame. Love the Lord your God, this one right here, with all of your psuche. Psuche, strange word. It means your breath. It means your breath. You know, in the creation story, there's a bunch of clay and a bunch of mud, and what does God do? He breathes life into the clay and the dirt. He lets that which was dead come alive. It is the psuche of God. And the Holy Spirit tells Mary, Mary, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Something's going to happen to you. And the Spirit of the living God is going to be breathed into you. And it's going to change everything. It's going to change everything. It's going to overwhelm everything about your life. It's going to change it all. There's a time when Jesus uses this same idea, this same word. And he's at the Last Supper. And he's telling his disciples, I must die or I cannot come again. I can't come back. And he says to them, he says, I must go away so that I can come again. And I can make my home where? In you. Tsuke. In the beginning, God breathed life into my flesh and blood. But then I was born again. And he breathed life into my spirit. And it changed everything. It overshadowed everything. Everything about me. Everything changed. You see, until we humble ourselves to the Spirit of the living Christ, this is all we have. We have our minds, we have our wills, we have our hearts. We don't have anything else. And so what I want, what I think, or how I feel runs my life. But for the one who is born again, who humbles himself to the presence of this Holy Spirit and says, I desire to be overshadowed by your Spirit. Come and make a home in me. Paul talks about it like this. When that happens, something gets poured into you. It's a gift. You begin to receive the gifts that God has intended for you of hope. Peace not like the peace the world gives. Joy that goes beyond our understanding. Love that is an agape love. And when that starts to happen, it begins to overshadow everything. It begins to transform my mind. I begin to learn and know things I never knew before, because he promises that he will pour into my mind these gifts. This will overshadow me. And his resource is infinite. So as he pours into my mind, he again fills my soul. And as it overshadows my mind, it begins to overshadow my will, so that my want to becomes his want to. And he continues to pour into the life of a believer, until in the end, even my desires become his. We sometimes, I think all the time, if we don't have the Spirit of Christ leading us, we get things out of order. We confuse ourselves. And things don't work the way we think they should. You see, the truth is, without Christ, you can want to all you want, but you're going to end up someplace you don't want to be. There's a reason that I put this at the end, because most of us would very much put it someplace else. Unless we have humbled ourselves to Christ, and then we realize why he says, where your treasure is, your heart will follow after. Hope is born in suffering. We shared that together. Joy is an ability to go through a trial of life and know that God is sovereign. He's got it. Peace is not peace like the world gives. Peace is a relationship with the living God, so that you are right with your Maker. And now love, this last gift that we're going to talk about before Christmas. Agape love is a gift from God. And when you humble yourself to the Spirit of the living Christ, what happens is, he makes a promise that he will strengthen these things in your life. He'll make them stronger. And so in the midst of what you face today, I have a Christmas challenge for you. Focus your attention on the gifts that come from God. Acknowledge whether or not you have. This is called, when this cup turns up, it's called being born again. Have you been born again? Have you submitted yourself to the Spirit of the living Christ and said, run my life? I'm humbling myself to you. What happens to the man or the woman who has decided they don't want to do that? I think it's a decision. I don't think you accidentally fall into this. I think you decide, I don't want that. I don't want to do that. What happens when a soul decides that? Does the nature of God change? Does God change? No, he's probably still pouring. You're just not receiving. You see, for this to open, it has to start there. It has to start there. Jesus says, you start here, you humble yourself to the Spirit, and I will overshadow you. I will open your mind, I will transform your will, and I will take your heart exactly where your heart needs to go. That's his promise this Christmas season. And so I invite you to hear clearly what it is that God is saying to Mary. Can you imagine a 12, 13-year-old girl being told by an angel she's going to be pregnant? And like any young person, she says, I'm a virgin. How can I be pregnant? How can this happen? Says, you're going to have a child. And here's how it's going to happen. The Spirit of the living God is going to overshadow your life. It's going to change everything about you. It's not going to just make you pregnant. It's just never going to leave you. It's going to change everything about her life. And that is the exact same promise that Jesus gives the disciples at the Last Supper. You allow this to happen, and it changes everything about you. It overshadows your whole life. I've asked Gail if she would sing a song, and the praise team's going to join her. And I just want you to think about this song that they're going to sing. It's about God breathing and me breathing. See, for Mary, every breath that she takes is a breath in new life. And for the believer, every breath that we take is no longer just a breath for our mortal bodies. It is a breath for our eternity. It is a breath that leads us where we're supposed to go. God is sovereign over our lives. He has all of this. He's in control of everything. And so if we will just humble ourselves to the Spirit of the living God, then He will breathe in us and through us. So just listen as the team sings this wonderful, wonderful song. Just something for you, for your heart, for your mind, for your will, and for your soul. You know, don't let your I don't think so get in the way of what God wants to do with you. You're missing out. Don't let your I don't want to get in the way. You're missing a whole life you haven't experienced yet. Don't let your I don't feel like it ruin your tomorrow. God has a plan. He wants to take you somewhere. He probably wants to take you somewhere you never even imagined you would go. He wants you to take you to a new life. He wants to fill your life with good gifts of hope and peace and joy. It's what He wants. If you're going to do anything for your soul this Christmas season, give Him a chance. Just give Him a chance. Say, okay, Lord, I'm going to put my thinking hat aside. I'm going to put my feeling aside. I'm going to put my strong will aside. And I'm going to give You a chance. Fill my life. Take me where You want me to be. And I will humbly obey You. It's an astounding conversation between Mary and the angels. The angel says, I'm going to overshadow everything about your life. I'm going to change everything about you. Your whole future is going to be transformed. Do you remember what she says? Remember this young girl's response to the angel saying, everything's going to change. Remember what she says? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as You would. I pray that you respond to God like that this Christmas season. Just say yes. Just give Him a chance, okay? Heavenly Father, I come before You. Lord, I thank You for this tremendous, tremendous conversation between You and Mary that inspires us and challenges us, encourages us, and gives us hope. I pray, Lord, that we would set aside our bickering with You and a dividing wall that You've conquered already, that we would allow You an honest chance to change our lives. Father, so You do Your work. You do what You do best. Make a home in us. Take up residence and overwhelm everything about us, that You become the center of all things. We ask and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. It's our chance to return unto God, a token of our favor. And so let's give and receive our blessings and our offerings unto our Lord and our Savior, Jesus.